Okay, Christ the Healer. In this class, we are going to continue covering similar topics that we did last night. We're going to start with our two main texts, which are 1 Peter 2:24 and Matthew 8:17. Those are our two main texts for this course. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed." King James says, "By his stripes you were healed." "In order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, 'He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases.'" So we went over that last week. Now we're going to continue on from there. It says, "I will take sickness away." That's in Exodus 23:25, and that's referring to God. God said, "I will take sickness away." And then we're going to go back into Exodus in a few minutes. But first, we're going to move to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. We're talking about it is God's will to heal, and it is God's will to heal all. And we're looking at verses that are showing us this. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, and it says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' in order that that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Now, I made reference to this in the introduction to this course on the first day that we met. And I referred to Galatians 3:13, that Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law. But that was a fast overview, and I want us now to turn to that, underline it in our Bibles, and see. And now we're going to need to look at what does it mean that he redeemed us from the curse of the law, and what is the curse of the law? So the curse of the law can be summed up into three categories, and then we'll look at those in the Scripture. The first category is spiritual death. The second category is poverty, and the third category is sickness. In Genesis, it tells us that when Adam sinned, God said, "In the day that you do that, you shall surely die." Now, Adam didn't physically die, but what happened when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of life is there was spiritual death. His spirit was affected. So what needed to happen then is that man needed to be born again. That spirit needed to be changed from death to life. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. That when we believe in him for salvation, we pass through that spiritual death into spiritual life. So even though our bodies will die someday, we will have eternal life with God the Father. So spiritual death does not need to affect us anymore because we have Jesus Christ. So that's one of the first things that we're redeemed from by Jesus, redeemed from the curse of spiritual death, which Adam brought us into. Now, we're going to go to the law and see these other categories. So we're going to turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And this is good news. While you're turning there, let me just tell you, this is good news. The gospel is good news. What Jesus did for us is good news. That he took sin on the cross is good news. That he took sickness is good news. That he took poverty is good news. We need to fully understand what he did for us so that we can receive the blessings. He did a lot for us, but we need to understand what he did so that we can appropriate it. So it's important for us to see this in the Word of God so that we can have faith, so that we can believe and we can receive. He didn't just take sin on the cross. Let's look at what else, and let's look at what happened. Deuteronomy chapter 28. This tells us the law. And in here we see, chapter 28, we see the blessings for obedience, meaning obeying the law, and we see that there are curses for disobeying. Now again, remember the gospel is good news. And we don't stop in Deuteronomy. Remember, we have Galatians 3:13. We have what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. He's redeemed us. That even if we fall short of walking perfectly, walking out the law, we've got Jesus. And this has all been summarized into something new for us anyway. Jesus said, "A new law I give you." Was the whole law was fulfilled in this one word, in the statement, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." that if you love your neighbor, you won't commit any of these sins in Deuteronomy because you're walking in love. So the new law that we walk under is the law of love. But we're going to look at this law here to see what did Jesus redeem us from? What were the curses of the law? We see first the blessings. Let's start with verse 1. Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you will obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beasts, and increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way, and shall flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Verse 11, and the Lord will make you abound in prosperity. Now we've looked at some of these before, that you shall lend to many nations and you shall not borrow. He will bless all the work of your hands. We see that in verse 12. So these are blessings for obeying the law. But now when we hit verse 15, we see the promised curses for disobedience. Before we start reading that, let me tell you this, and I've touched on this a little bit before, but okay, everybody look up here for a minute. Okay, before you start jumping into that, because you can think, oh, God can seem mean if you read that without some understanding. God does not cause sickness. God does not cause poverty. He does not cause hurricanes. He does not cause tornadoes that damage, that hurt. God does not cause evil, but he does allow it. I'm going to give you an illustration. I've got this umbrella, and this is kind of good timing this time of year to use this, isn't it? This is kind of symbolic. As long as I stay underneath this umbrella, I'm protected from the rain, for the most part, right? The rain won't really get me. I'm covered, right? Because I've got a covering over me. So I'm protected. I'm shielded. I'm guarded. But if I choose to step outside of this umbrella and walk out here, I'm no longer shielded or protected or guarded. I chose to step outside of the covering. Do you see that? So if it's raining, I get wet. Now, this is symbolic of what it's like when you walk in obedience to God. When you're obedient to God, primarily walking in love, because it covers everything else, when you are obedient to God, you are covered. And you are protected. You are under his covering, his protection. When you choose sin, you step outside of that covering. And who is outside of the covering of God? Like, with an umbrella, I'm using rain. But what else, what am I trying to symbolize here? What's outside of God's covering? The devil. So, when you're under God's covering, you're walking in love. You're obeying his word. You're protected. You're obedient. When you choose sin, and you walk out here in disobedience, you have an open door for the devil. But God does not cause the rain to come upon you here, because he's provided protection for you as long as you stay under his covering. Do you understand that? Do you see the difference here? How God doesn't cause it, it's allowed. I can choose to step outside of the covering, or I can choose to stay under. Do you get it now? Do you understand what I'm trying to show you in this? So that's not God causing it. Let's just say it's symbolic of the devil, which it's not, but you understand what I'm saying. The devil is on the earth. God has a covering, a protection over you. As long as you're walking in love, you're staying obedient to him, you're covered. You step outside of that, and you've got an open door. So what you want to do is repent and get back in under that covering as fast as you can. You don't want to go a long time in sin. When you realize you've messed up, you need to repent and get back in. Get that covering. Get that protection over you. Do you understand what I'm saying in this now? So God does not cause bad things to happen, but he allows them the same way he allows you the freedom to step outside of your umbrella, because he does not force us to do anything. He tells us to obey him, tells us the blessings and the promises for obedience, and he tells us the penalties and some things that can happen. Why? Because the devil's at work when somebody's not obeying God. So he gives us a warning. In the same way a good, loving parent would tell a child, don't touch the hot stove. Now, the parent knows why and knows what the hot stove will do. It'll burn. But some kids have curiosity. Some kids choose rebellion, and they choose to touch it anyway and burn themselves. Now, did the parent cause that? No, the parent tried to prevent that. So your God, your Father, is loving and kind and is trying to prevent you from having sickness, injury, poverty, any of these other things. So he's not causing them to come, but they are allowed if you walk outside of his ways. Okay, that's clear? Everybody gets that? Okay, now with that in mind, the Hebrew translation here is not as clear as it could be. So when we go to read sometimes in the Old Testament, and this isn't the only place, the word they use sounds like God causes it, because they don't have a good word for permits or allows. So when it was translated as though God causes it. But a better way to look at it, this will give you understanding, it helped me a lot, is to look at it as though it's allowed. And there's a big difference between allowing something and causing something. My son needs to do his homework. When he does his homework, then he gets to play. But to play, he's got to do his homework first. If he does his homework, then I allow him to play. If he doesn't do his homework, he doesn't get to play. So he loses that right. He forfeits it, but it's by his choice. I'm not causing him to miss his play times. It's not my goal. It's not my aim. I'm not causing him to do that. I'm just saying, here's the standard. Here's my rule. Homework first, do that, then you get to play. So in Deuteronomy, let's read some of these. It shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground, the increase of your herd and your young. Cursed shall you be when you come in and go out. You get the idea, right? Okay, see, like verse 22, it says, the Lord will smite you, and that's a sickness. The Lord will allow. He'll allow it to happen, but he doesn't cause it to happen. And this is very important, because if you need to go to God for healing, you need to know that he's not the one that caused you to be sick. He's the one that heals you and fixes you. And you can see his character and his nature all through the Old Testament. Every time the children of Israel would mess up, as soon as they would repent and turn back to God, he'd do what he could to restore them. He was always restoring. Now we see a whole bunch of other stuff. And as we go through this, we can see tumors, the itch, boils, the scab. It's even got things that can't be healed. Blindness, bewilderment of heart, groping at noon. So I think we get the idea, right? Okay, verse 33. You shall never be anything but oppressed and crushed continually. That's bad, right? This is enough to get your attention and kind of make you realize I want to have some reverence of the Lord and realize that he doesn't want these things to happen, but this is what can happen when somebody steps outside of his protection. Let's go on a little bit more. I like reading this one because it's just a good reminder. Verse 47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things, therefore, and then we go into some other things, and one of them is a lack of all things. So it's important to serve the Lord with a glad heart, with joy. That's a good kind of, boy, if you've got need an attitude adjustment, just read that and that'll help you. Oh, yes, Lord, I'm very happy to serve you today, Lord. Yes, what would you like me to do today, Lord? And with a glad heart, I will do it. Now, we're going to skip to verse 61. Now, we've been going down, and it just talks about diseases and sicknesses and things that can happen. Also, every sickness and every plague which not written in the book of this law, the Lord will, now it says bring, but would allow on you until you are destroyed. Now, that covers everything. Any sickness, any plague that's not even written in here. But in the same way, all those can be healed. Everything can be healed. Even the things that aren't written in here can be healed by Jesus Christ. Now, ready? Here's the good news. Galatians 3:13. Now, don't you like that verse much better? You have this new appreciation for Galatians 3:13. This new appreciation for what Jesus Christ did for you. Not only did he save you, but he did everything necessary for you to walk in perfect health and in financial blessing for you to prosper. Now, we may need to get a hold of some of this and understand some of this to apply it, but the work's been done. And that's good news. Jesus Christ, the gospel, is good news. You don't have to be sick anymore. You don't have to be poor anymore. You can be blessed. It's His will for you to be blessed. Now, you don't need to get into a whole bunch of thinking of, well, did I miss it here? Did I miss it there? If you missed it somewhere, you already know. You don't need to kind of start going and super analyzing yourself. You have a knowing. And if you need to line an area up, you just line it up. You ask for His forgiveness, and you stay right under that covering. And then we start moving in and believing God for healing to be made manifest in our bodies, that we stay perfectly healthy, that He keeps us lined up with His Word. Let's go to Exodus 15:26. As we're turning there, does everybody understand how we're connecting these verses now and why Galatians 3:13 is so important, that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law? Can you see? I haven't even read all of it to you because sometimes I read it and cringe. Okay, so if you want to read it, you can go home and read it. You see where it is, you know where it is. And sometimes if somebody's dealing with something in their body, go through and read it. It gives you faith to say, hey, no, I'm a child of God. I've been made righteous in Jesus Christ. Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. That can't come upon my body. I don't allow that in the name of Jesus Christ. I repented for any sin that I did. I am right with God right now. I am walking right. I'm living right. I'm doing right. My past is forgiven. I've been made new. And so therefore the blessings come upon me now. I refuse you, poverty. I refuse you, sickness. I don't allow you in my household. I don't allow you in my body. Flee in Jesus' name. And money comes to me now because I am the righteous in Christ. Health comes to me now because I am the righteous in Christ. Jesus paid the price for this. Surely I will attain it. Surely it is mine. I won't let what He did be in vain. What He did will count for me. What He did, I will receive. I will appropriate by faith. Those blessings are mine. I am the righteous. I am in Christ. He made me righteous. It's not of myself. He made me righteous. Therefore, I've got a right to walk in health. I am healthy. And see, you can feel your spirit, even as I'm saying this, you're kind of getting hold with it, going, yes, yes, that's right, that's right. Because why? Your spirit's grabbing hold of it, saying, yeah, yeah. Why? Because it feeds your spirit, because it's truth. Because God wants that to rise up on the inside of you. The Bible says to fight the good fight of faith. Oh, yeah, there's a fight. This is it. Especially in the area of healing. Especially, you know, for some people, they can be really strong in one area, but they need to learn more in another area. They can be really strong in this, and they need to learn more in that. Learn more of the Word of God, and then apply more of the Word of God. Confess more of the Word of God. So if you grew up having a lot of lack, that became the normal for you. That became the expectation, because that's the way it was. That's the way you lived with it. So you got to battle that by the Word of God. If somebody grew up sick, they got used to that. They got used to speaking that way. They got used to feeling that way. So there's going to be an extra just oomph or battle for you to stand against that stuff. But the victory is yours, because thanks be to God that always causes us to triumph. You've got the victory. You've got the Word on your side. You've got Jesus Christ on your side. He already took it. Now He's got you in this Bible school so He can show you how to apply it, because He wants you to live it and receive it. That's why you're here. Because you're hungry for Him. He knows your heart. He knows how you love Him. He knows how you want the truth. He knows how you want to serve Him and follow Him. So He sent you somewhere where He could teach you the truth and set you free. Exodus 15:26. We just want to see this in here several places, right? But you see how just speaking like that, it can start to get you stirred up. As I speak like that, it starts to get me stirred up. As I speak about who I am in Christ, how He's made me righteous, how I am the healed, how I am the one that prospers. This is who I am. This is what I have because of what Jesus Christ did for me. Oh, starts to just raise me up. Raise me up. It's like, yeah, yeah. Because what starts to happen is you build your spirit on the truth. And the spirit is the real you. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. But your spirit has got to be made stronger than the flesh, than the circumstances. And when I say the flesh, I mean then what you feel, what you see with your eyes. So that's where the battle is. The battle is in choosing the Word of God over how you feel. And we'll look at how Abraham did that later. We'll get into that, okay? Because Abraham is a really good model for us in what he did. Maybe we'll go to that a little bit right now. Abraham did not grow weak in faith, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, because he was fully persuaded that what God promised, he was able also to perform. So God said, "A father of many nations have I made you." What did he do? He gave Abraham a promise. A father of many nations, when Abraham had no children. This applies to healing. This applies to finances. Abraham did not have kids, and yet God said, "A father of many nations I have made you." And what did Abraham do? This is in Romans chapter 4. In verse 17, we see that God calls into being that which does not exist. We've gone over that before. But down in verse 19, "And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb." Now let's stop right there. He contemplated his own body. He didn't deny the reality. He just gave more weight to the promise of God. So he didn't deny what was going on. He didn't deny that they were both around 100, okay? They didn't deny that she was past the age of childbearing. He's not in denial. He's just clinging to the promise of God that they would have a son, that he'd be a father of many nations. That's important. We're not denying symptoms in the body. We're not denying the reality of circumstances when we choose God's word for healing or prosperity. If there's 10 cents in the checkbook, then there's 10 cents in the checkbook. We're not denying that, but at the same time, Christ was made poor that you might be made rich. You can still speak that scripture out over your situation no matter what you're seeing, because we're called to walk by what? Not by... And what does sight represent? Yeah, the sense realm, what you can see, what you can feel, what you can touch. Yes. Okay, verse 20. "Yet with respect to the promise of God," there it is, "because of the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, also, it was reckoned to him as righteousness." Now, aren't you glad? That's why he's the father of faith for us. That's why in Galatians 3:13, it says that that blessing of Abraham might come upon us. His faith might come upon us. That he believed God. So, he had a spoken promise from God. You have something even more sure. You have it in writing. There's no question about it. Does God want me to prosper? Yes. How many scriptures do we need to go over to show you God, yes, does want you to prosper? Two should be sufficient. That's all you need. That's all I needed to believe God for my whole household to be saved. I found that in there two places where it said, "you and your whole household." And when I came to the Lord, I was still in my other household under my mom and dad. And so I believed my whole household. I see it in there two times before I even knew about how to claim stuff. I just knew. You got me, God, it's because you're getting my whole family. Because there is no way I could endure being in heaven without my family being there with me. And I just stood on those two scriptures. So my whole family shall be saved. So it's the same for now applying this to healing. See what he did? His body was beyond the time of being able to do this. But he clung to the promise of God. Now, let's go back and go to Exodus. Exodus 15:26. You may still have your... Or I can just read it to you. Why don't I do that? "And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will allow none of these diseases on you, which I have," I'm paraphrasing, "I have allowed on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer." He is your healer. So what do we see? It is God's will for you to be healed. So much so that he allowed everything to be put upon Jesus so that all the blessings could be upon us. All the blessings. Jesus Christ was made a curse for us. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham could could come on the Gentiles. That's you and that's me. God made it such that that blessing, the blessing of prosperity, the blessing of health, spiritual life, could come upon you and me. So these are the things we've been redeemed from. So now we can go ahead and just pull scriptures out of the Bible that talk about healing and health for us. Let's turn to Numbers 21, 4 through 9. And I'm going to show you an illustration of the brazen serpent. Numbers 21, 4 through 9. While I'm there, somebody else turn to John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 for us. So Numbers 21, and I'm going to start in verse 4. Then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient because of the journey. Okay, impatience, that's not a good thing. And the people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. So here, God's just done all these miracles to deliver them from Egypt, right? Just miracle after miracle. Miracle after miracle. Parting the Red Sea, having it come down then upon their enemy. I mean, miracles God did for them. And here, look at what they're saying. Then verse 6. And the Lord sent, better way to say it is aloud, fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. Now, what caused that? Their complaining, their attitude, their impatience. Verse 7. So the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord in you. Intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us. And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard like a pole. And it shall come about that everyone who is bitten when he looks at it shall live. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard pole. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. Now let me show you some things about that. And then also in John chapter 3 verses 14 and 15, it refers back to this account. But as you're in Numbers still, in Hebrew, in verse 9, that word looked is N-A-B-A-T. And that's not as important as this. What I want you to get out of this is when they looked, it is not a casual glance. But that word in verse 9, so that when they looked upon it, to the bronze serpent, he lived. So any man that had been bit, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. That looked means he beheld, to behold, to consider, to depend, to gaze, to observe, to pay attention. In other words, it was a focus. It was an intentional focus. It wasn't just a casual glance. There was more going on there. It was looking intently. Now, the word look in Hebrew for verse 8 is ra, R-A-A-H. So you're to do it and so that everyone who is bitten when he looks at it shall live. That word looks right there means to access, to heed, to keep on looking. It's not just a one-time thing, but keep on looking. To perceive, to understand, regards, examined, encountered. So we can say it like this. When he looks at it, he shall live. Or when he keeps on looking at it, he shall live. When he understands it, he shall live. When he examines it and encounters it, he shall live. Do you see how it starts to change this a little bit? That there's a little more going on than some casual glance. But there's got to be some understanding that he's looking upon this serpent. He's got to have there's some understanding, there's some focused attention put on this. That is a symbol for what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And when you look at medical science, sometimes you know that symbol they have. It's like a cross with a serpent on it. Anyone that looked upon that in the Old Testament would live. And they did. Sometimes that type of dependent or a gaze, keep looking at it, is what's required in getting your healing from God yourself, direct, by faith. You've got to keep looking at Jesus and what Jesus did for you. And stay focused on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your gaze on Him. And when your gaze is stronger on Him than on the symptoms of your body, when it's stronger on the Word of God than what you feel, your healing will manifest because your faith will rise up. Grab hold of it. You'll realize what He did for you. I'm going to dismiss you all now.